Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
2:25, time to visit House of 1000 Beers, locations Wexford and New Kensington, the home of the best Reuben sandwiches in town. Could use a couple of those. Reubens and the beers. Pony and Muller, presented by Chapin Luana Injury Law Firm, doing good by doing right. One of baseball's best writers, John Parrotto, based in Pittsburgh for a long time, knows the game inside and out. Economics of the game, very well versed in that, joining us right now to talk about the latest on the negotiations between the players and the owners. John, I worry about the Pirates in all of this. Their attendance was near the bottom of the league before any of this. Their payroll near the bottom of the league before any of this. And if they don't get back on the field this year, I wonder what happens to a team like the Pirates.
You know, that's a great question, Andrew. And it kind of remains to be seen, because really there's no precedent for this in baseball history to know exactly how much impact it's going to have on all the teams, but particularly some of the low budget teams like the Pirates. I would think that they want to get in part of a season to recoup some of their TV money and what have you, at least to have some kind of income coming in. So, I can't imagine how it would help the Pirates. How much it would hurt the Pirates would kind of remain to be seen, but I've got to believe it would have some effect.
John, I know this is kind of a broad question here, but in lowest terms, how healthy as a sport is Major League Baseball as a league?
I think it's very, I should say. I think it's very healthy, Chris. You know, last year of Forbes estimates, and Forbes is usually pretty much right on the money with these type of things. They claim that baseball was brought in $10 billion in revenue. Now, of course, you pay out so much to the players and other expenses and what have you. But I do think that every club is in pretty good financial shape, or I should say at least was in pretty good financial shape before this pandemic hit. I think obviously some clubs were healthier than others, but I don't think it was like 10, 20, 25 years ago when a lot of teams tried to claim they weren't making a profit and they were just barely hanging on. I think that's not the case anymore, because there's so much money in the sport and more revenue being shared than ever before.
John, how about the sliding scale proposal from the owners? Pay cuts depending on what kind of percentile you were in, based on how much money you were making. What was your reaction to that story?
It seems to me that they're trying to divide and conquer the union with this proposal. You know, for everybody like a Mike Trout, a Garrett Cole, who's making $36 million a year, you've got a lot more guys making minimum or $1 million, which obviously to the common person is a lot of money, but by baseball terms is not a whole lot of money for a player. And I think what they're trying to do is they figure there's more lesser-paid players than higher-paid players. And if enough lesser-paid players say, hey, at least we got something coming in this year, we're not going to have no income for the entire year, that they're more apt to vote in favor of this proposal, even if somebody like a Garrett Cole, a Mike Trout, somebody, you know, making big money figures, what do I really have to gain from all this? And I think that's what they're trying to do, and I think that's what the proposal was aimed at, to try to get the low paid, the young guys, and some of the journeymen not making a lot of money to vote for it and say, hey, whatever gets better than zero.
John, how much influence does the union head have on, you know, the players basically either coming out publicly against something like this this sliding scale proposal or keeping their mouth shut. If there was, because I know Tony Clark does not have maybe a great reputation from the outside looking in as a union head. If there was a more a stronger union head, a Don Fehr type of guy, do you think we'd be hearing less griping and public kind of consternation from the players when these plans get leaked?
Yeah, I think you would. I think obviously Tony Clark has been a little overmatched in his job, and I like Tony. I got to know him when he was a player, and he's a good guy. But, you know, he's not a lawyer like the other guys before him, Michael Weiner, Don Fehr, and, of course, Marvin Miller, who founded the union back in the 60s. I think what is happening is you're seeing some divide in the union where the players used to be solidified, whether you were a guy making minimum or whether you were one of the top 10 players in the game. Everybody was unified. Everybody was in it together. And I don't think that's the case anymore. And it will be very interesting, Chris, if they put this to a vote, we may finally see what the divide is, because every year the strike, except one, all the different strikes over the years, it was unanimously approved to go on strike. One time it was one holdout. So it's going to be interesting, but it's not the same union it once was. It's still a powerful union, but no longer ironclad, totally unified, totally solidified like it was in years past.
John Parrotto, Pittsburgh baseball writer, our guest here on The Fan. So where are you right now on things, John? Do you feel like it will happen? Do you think they'll play?
I think they will. I think they'll haggle it out. What I would like to see, though, Andrew, is really, and I hate to say this as a media person, as a reporter, but I really think both sides need to go into a news blackout right now. I don't know if either side, and particularly the owners, because every proposal they leak to, you know, members, people that work for MLB Network and float it out as a trial balloon. You know, I think when you have almost 100,000 people have died of this virus, you've got over 30 million people unemployed, and you have a lot of other people working who have taken pay cuts or been furloughed or have less hours, I don't think they really want to hear about the money right now. And I think the more stuff leaks out, the more that we're talking about this instead of the game on the field, I think it's really, really hurting the sport. And I think they need to just quietly come to an agreement and quit grandstanding in the media. I just think they're hurting a sport that's already losing popularity, and they're doing nothing but to hurt the popularity even more by squabbling over money at a time when a lot of people have no money.
John, I get what you're saying right there, but I think you also, in the beginning of that answer, said sort of the other part of this that's relevant. For one side, for the owners, that's very much a tactic here to make sure you're putting this stuff out on Front Street in an effort to elicit a reaction, right? Like, I would imagine that they aren't viewing this as hurting the popularity of the sport. They're viewing this as another tool in the arsenal to try to get what we want in this negotiation.
Oh, yeah, I won't dispute that at all. And you know, the owners realize the players are always the bad guys in these work stoppages or money squabbles. Because let's face it, everybody says, well, if I had a chance, I'd play for nothing. And these guys make $10 million a year, fill in the blank however much money they make. And I think most of the general public sides with the owners in these disputes. They feel the players already make more money than they should for playing a game. And the owners know this. And in this situation, especially in the middle of a pandemic and, you know, an economic crisis, they're playing this to the hilt. Now, I understand where they're coming from. But I just worry that they're going to turn everybody totally off by it. But I certainly do, like I said, understand that they have leverage here and they're using it full force by negotiating in public.
John Parrotto, Pittsburgh baseball writer, talking about the latest on the negotiations between the owners and players right now as baseball tries to return to play. John, you hear stories about NFL labor impasses and how Dan Rooney would reach across the aisle and try to appeal to the players or even convince ownership that they had to find compromise and make a deal and maybe meet the players halfway. Are there any owners in baseball that you could see doing something like that? Would Bob Nutting reach out to the players and try to play peacemaker between the two sides? I mean, who anybody come to mind who could do that?
I'm guessing not Bob Nutting. I don't think Bob is very much a pro-labor person. I would have to say maybe the one owner who seems to at least be not quite as hawkish as most of them when it comes to labor issues is Mark Antanasio, the Milwaukee Brewers owner. And he's very well liked by his players in Milwaukee. The fans love him. He spends quite a bit of money for a small market team. And I know the Players Association feel he's one of the few owners that they really can trust. So if I had to pick one person out of the 30 owners, it would be the Brewers owner that I think could be somebody that could go to the union and say, hey, you know, let's figure out a way to make a deal here. So that would be my number one draft choice for that position.
John, if more people chose to run their teams like he does in Milwaukee, and I think it's been obvious, it's been well documented that he's been transparent about years where they would spend less and try to rebuild, and it seems like fans there have appreciated that transparency. But if more teams in general tried to spend aggressively more often, in terms of the finance, like, do you think the overall boon for the sport would be there by, you know, as far as more fans buying tickets, feeling more engaged in a variety of markets in what their team is doing, et cetera? Is that a winning proposition, what he tries to do long term, if it's applied all over the league by virtually every team?
You know, I think each market certainly is a little bit different. So I hate to blanketly say on the whole that it would be, but I think the majority of fan bases, the majority of teams would be happy to see that. You look at the Brewers, they're always one of the better draws in the league, especially relative to market size. They really pack Miller Park, and it is not a big market. It's a smaller market than Pittsburgh, and I do believe that the fans would be receptive to that in most of the markets. So, yeah, absolutely, I think it would be a good thing for owners and the game itself.
John, I got a hypothetical for you. Some guests don't like them. Others do. We'll see how this goes. And it's not. It didn't initiate with me. I can't take credit for this one. Where do you come down on the idea if the union gives it the thumbs up and they're in and they find a deal, but it's a deal that, let's say, this was how it was framed to me. Let's say Scott Boras' clients don't like it. And Boras can get his workforce to say, nope, we're not going to play. What happens then?
No, that's a great question. I think this year, and only this year, because of the pandemic and what have you, I think owners would not be upset if players did not play, because you could always frame it by saying, well, I don't want to put my health at risk. I just don't know if it's the right thing to do. But, yeah, if Boras held out all his clients in a normal situation, though, I don't think he can move forward. I mean, he has that kind of power. I mean, you know, he has a lot of the biggest stars in the game. And I think if he did do that, and I wouldn't put it, you know, that's really, I haven't thought of this, but I wouldn't put it past him to try to use this tactic at some point, if not this year, in the future. I don't think you could really move on as a Players Association with missing that many players, and especially that many high-caliber star players.
John Parrotto, Pittsburgh baseball writer. Hey, John, hope you're starting to come back around here. You're recovering from surgery. You sound good. Hopefully you feel good as well. So thank you so much for joining us today.
I'm feeling real good. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. And thanks for having me on.
Yep, you bet. John Parrotto.
I really enjoy John's work.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.